sign me up for suffering. Now, I know when most people see that, they're like, what's wrong with you, man? Listen, when we come to church, we want to be lifted up. We want to be happy and just walk out of here saying, man, Lord, thank you so much for that service. But I'm here to tell you right now that this is a huge part of growth as a Christian. And I'm only 36 years old, so I really haven't lived a long life as some of you in here. But I can tell you that I've suffered quite a bit. If you'll notice, on my left foot, there is a stylish Nike boot. No, just a boot over here on my left foot. And it's not because I just felt like wearing two different shoes today. This would be my fourth foot surgery in 4 years. Okay? So I had an Achilles repair twice on my right foot. A plantar fasciotomy where they cut the plantar tendon underneath to lengthen that. And I just had an Achilles repair on my left foot. So basically, in the last 4 years, I have not been able to walk properly without pain. It's been rough. So, being asked to preach and teaching some classes, this passage that we're going to go through today has been my cornerstone passage to help get me through rough times. And I failed. And I'm here to tell you right now, I have not been successful along every step of the way, but I always go back to this passage. And I've grown a ton and I've learned a lot from this passage. So bear with me as I try to attempt to break down God's word for us. And hopefully at the end of this, what you'll be saying to yourselves is, sign me up to suffer. All right, why do we suffer? That's the question we're going to answer today, hopefully. And it goes back to this passage right here. I want you to look at, we're going to break this passage down into two sections. And the two sections we're going to break it down to, probably three sections. Peace, glory, and then we're going to grow. All right? If you look at this passage, the first part of this passage says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace. Right? That's what we get with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. So that first part right there is peace. The second part we're going to talk about, it says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And that hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, we're going to break this down. All right, so where does peace come from? Peace comes from, and it goes back to that verse, we have peace through God through Christ, right? So that's the easy part. We have peace through God through Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. All right, so there's where the peace comes from. That part's easy. We can check that off. Y'all can have peace now. Be at peace. You have a Savior who is Jesus. Now, this part's a little harder. You have glory. Now, the last time, if you're sitting out in the audience with pain right now, if you have pain, if you woke up this morning and said, oh, my back is killing me. If you woke up this morning and said, man, chest hurts, arms, legs. Listen, it's happened to every single person. It may have happened as recently as this morning, but it's happened. And in that time, when you wake up, do you be like, man, my back is killing me? Glory be to God for that. How many times does that happen? Nope. It doesn't. It's not realistic for us to do that. It's very hard to do that, as a matter of fact. I know when I wake up in the morning, I was told a couple weeks ago to go ahead and start taking this boot off and start transitioning back to a shoe and start walking. So, being a natural guy, when I transitioned into my shoe, I said, goodbye, boot. And I said, I'm not putting that thing back on. I put two shoes on and went walking. It lasted about an hour. And my walking, which ended up started looking like this, and ended up like this, okay, because my feet hurt so bad. I went back and I said, all right, let's put that boot back on. But I can tell you, in the midst of that pain, the first thing I was not thinking about was, glory be to God. All right? Pain is a horrible thing that we have to go through in life. It hurts. Nobody likes it. I don't know. Now, I know some people that have really high pain tolerances, but I know no one that likes pain. Okay? So how is it that in this pain, how do we get to that glory? What is it about pain that allows us to get to that glory? So this is it right here. This is going to be your chain of growth. Listen, I'm telling you right now that this little chain of growth thing has kept me going. I'll be the first one to confess to you that I have failed miserably through this surgery. I had surgery June 1st, okay? It's now what, August, whatever? I'm still in a boot. All right, I had surgery June 1st. Couldn't walk, I was in a hard cast, and initially, I'm a very energetic person. I do not sit still well. So it's hard. You try to stay connected to God. You try to stay connected through prayer. As you go through the pain, you start saying, what is the first thing we do? Tom said it in Bible class this morning. He said, you know, oftentimes we can forget about God when things are going good, but when we're hurting, who's the first person we come to? Lord, why do I have this pain? Take it away. Lord, I can't deal with this pain anymore. Take it away. Please, Lord, no more pain for Tony. I'm out. Can't have no more pain. But the reality is my pain hasn't gone away, and I'm still in pain, at least for now. And I failed. I got to a point where one day, and I told Brother Brad this just before he left this morning, I said, you know, Brad, it's been a struggle for me through this surgery. Because I've been down so long, I've allowed myself to become depressed, have anxiety, and I really, one day it hit me. I usually pray in the morning and at night. Yeah, I wake up in the morning and I pray. I say, Lord, thank you for this day, no matter what it may bring. I'm just glad you gave it to me. And then at night, I thank him for everything. Family's still here. Appreciate everything you've done. Thank you, God. One day, I lay down to go to bed, and it hit me that I hadn't prayed in like 2 weeks. I'm like, whoa, what happened? What happened? I allowed my pain to get the better of me. I allowed my sufferings to get the better of me. And yes, I started praying to God, but I allowed myself to become disconnected. Disconnected from the church. Disconnected from my brothers and sisters. Disconnected from God's word. And it easily happens. Because as human beings, when we feel this pain, right, our first instinct is to go for help. Right? Immediately. When you get pain, you fall and break your arm, where's the first place you're going? To the hospital. Mom and dad are probably praying with you. You're praying, Lord, don't let this be nothing serious. Lord, help us get through this. You go through it. You find out, okay, broken arm, cast it up. You're in a cast. You say, shoo. All right. As that pain starts to set in a little more, you say, Lord, please just help me get through this pain. And really, it becomes what? It becomes a daily struggle, doesn't it? If you've ever dealt with chronic pain in your life, it becomes a daily struggle. And you'll find ways to just alleviate, and that's your goal, to alleviate pain. Right? Whether it be through medicine, throwing, you know, for me, it's putting my foot up with some ice and not walking. Whatever it is to alleviate that pain, you seek that out. All right? And what happens is, you'll pray to God for a while, and then as that pain continues on, you feel like God's not answering you. So then you rely more on the medicine, and more on the doctors, and more on this. And before you know it, God just slowly drifts away from that picture. But here's the reality. Here's the reality. And this is right out of Romans. That passage in Romans that says, suffering leads to perseverance. What does that mean? Well, I can think back to when I had, and this is what I did. I thought back to when I had my right Achilles surgery. And I thought to myself, man, when I was on that knee scooter, scooting around everywhere, I didn't think I was ever going to make it off that knee scooter. But as time went on, I didn't give up. I stayed the course. And you get through it. Is my right foot completely healed? And is it miraculous that I have no pain in my right foot? No, my right foot still hurts. But I can walk. I persevered. I made it through that right pain. It's not going to ever go away. And I'll continue to persevere. But what does perseverance lead to? Character. Whose character do they talk about in the Bible here? Who are they talking about? Hercules? I mean, whose character are they talking about? Who do you become more like when you persevere through suffering? God. You get to follow and be a part of God's character. You get to grow closer to God when you suffer. Who? We talked about it. Brother Tom just celebrated the Lord's Supper. Christ suffered for what he didn't deserve to suffer for. And he suffered way worse than I suffered and am suffering. So by suffering, and more so not just by suffering, but by persevering through suffering, we get to become more like God. More like God's character. We get to take on that characteristic, and we can celebrate that success. See, now we're starting to begin that celebration phase, right? Because what happens, you know, what happens when that pain goes away? What happens when that cast comes off and the arm is healed, physical therapy's all done, and you're back to normal, and it's been a whole year since you broke that arm? You know, that broken arm becomes a memory, doesn't it? It becomes something you talk about at parties. I remember I broke my arm before when I was young. Yeah, that was really tough. I went through that. Now, in that moment of the broken arm, what were you saying? Lord, please. Please, Lord, help me get through this broken arm. Such an inconvenience. I can't reach stuff. Hard to shower. Can't wash the right side of my body. You know, for me, it was getting into a shower, hopping around. Okay? That's what I was doing. You can't get stuff done. Driving was a problem. It becomes and it wears you down. And Satan will use pain and suffering to tell you to give up. Right? That's what Satan's job with pain and suffering. Satan wants you to understand, listen, Christ promised you would suffer. Now, if you look at that passage, it doesn't say if. If you go back, let me hit that back button for you. One more time. It doesn't say if you suffer, right? Anybody see the word if in there? You're not going to see it. It doesn't say if you suffer. It says, because we know, let's go back, also glory in our sufferings. You're going to suffer. It's inevitable. It doesn't say, well, if you're a really good Christian, you're not going to suffer. It doesn't say that, does it? Because Christ was the best of us all. And he suffered more than us all. Satan wants to use suffering to tell you that, listen, give it up. Give up. The pain is too much. And this worked on me. I'm going to be honest with you. I could not bring myself to go to church. And I told myself it was because of pain. I said, you know what? It's too hard to walk on this foot. The scooter, I don't feel like dealing with it. It's too much. I'm in too much pain. I'm not going to church. And I didn't. A couple weeks. Brothers and sisters reaching out to me left, right, and center. How you feeling? Where you at? What's going on? Can we come visit you? And I'm like, yeah, come visit me. And I told one of the elders one day, I said, listen, I can't do it. I can't go to church. He's like, why not? I said, because I'm so depressed about having this foot this way and all everybody does, because they mean well. I mean, listen, church people mean well when they ask you how you're doing. But when you can only give bad news for so long, you feel like you're letting them down. That's how I feel. If you've suffered with a chronic injury or illness and you've had it for a long time, you're like, man, how's that foot doing? I'm like, all right, I'm stuck here. Do I lie? Doing good. Yeah, no, it's good. Yeah. No, I can't do that. I'm in church for crying out loud. I'm going to lie in church about how my foot's doing. All right, what's my next option? It still hurts. And then just like, and again, they mean well. All church people, I really do. They're sincere. They look at you and they go, ooh, sorry, brother. We're gonna keep praying for you. And I'm like, yeah, appreciate it. I can only handle about 10 of those. By the 11th person that walks up to me and goes, hey, still in that mood, how's it going? And I'm like, it's horrible right now, actually. I start praying, dear Lord, please let no one ask me about my foot the rest of this day. Please? Can that happen? Because as much as, and that's all Satan right there. Okay? That's all Satan trying to separate me from all my brothers and sisters. So I got to a point where I stopped going to church. And I told the elders, I said, look, I can't take it anymore, man. I have no good news to give. None. When I walk in, my foot is in the same condition it was last week and the week before and the week before. It hurts. I got 4 screws in there. It's going to be a while. Hit me up in a couple months. I'll let you know then. Hopefully it's better. You know, and there are people out there that just want, they care about you and they want you to feel better. But Satan will tell you that to give up. Don't persevere through this. I want you to quit. I want you to allow your pain to get the best of you. When you wake up in the morning and your back hurts on a Sunday, and it always seems like Sunday morning is when your back hurts the worst, right? you're good on Saturday and we gotta go to the party. Might hurt a little bit, but you'll get through it. They're pitching horseshoes there, we gotta get over there. Alright? Seems like your back always hurts the worst on a Sunday morning. Okay? Or man, that tennis elbow is really kicking in. I don't think I'm gonna make it today. Don't allow your pain to get the best of you. Understand that you have pain. You feel pain so that you can praise God. It's why you feel pain. It's so you can praise God. If you know no pain at all in your life, how can God be praised? I once heard somebody use the analogy that God loves a broken vessel because then he receives all the glory. If you're perfect and there's nothing wrong with you, what is there for God to do? But if you're broken and you're hurting and you're suffering, man, God can really be glorified in that, can he? Even if you're in the midst of suffering, God can be glorified. Because all it takes is for you to get up, get moving, and give him the credit. Brother Brad said in Sunday school today, God deserves all the credit for every blessing in your life. All of it. Every bit of it. Every good thing you have, God should get the credit for that. And I'm here to tell you right now, I say that goes for the suffering too. Suffer, but be have glory. Give God glory in your suffering. Now, I'm not telling you to be unrealistic. Don't wake up in the morning and be like, man, my back is killing me. I'm so excited my back hurts. Man, I'm pumped. Thanks, God. But recognize this. When you get through that day that you didn't think you were going to get through, that's the credit to God. That's a victory. And when you persevere, not if, but when you persevere, you'll be more like God's character. That's what his word says. Go back to that chain there. All right, and character, right? Character leads to hope. Now let's go back to the full passage. I want to read through that one more time, okay? And therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, and I'm going to fill it in, produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I want to go back to this for a second. There are so many people out in this world who are in pain, who hurt physically, emotionally, spiritually, that don't know Christ. I'm going to tell you what happens when that pain gets the best of you. They kill themselves. There is a point that comes, and I've seen it. I'm active duty Air Force, and I'm going to tell you a little story, okay? I'm an active duty Air Force police officer. That's my full-time job. I worked with a guy for 10 years. All right? We talked a lot about God. We talked a lot about hope. We talked a lot about Christ. I didn't know that he was suffering on the inside. I had no clue. Had a wife, had a family. He retired. The moment that every full-time military guy wants to get to, retirement, right? 20 years. He punched out. 8 months later, he committed suicide. And it really shook me up. I thought, I know this guy. I know this guy did not want to kill himself. What happened? Pain. The pain got the better of him. See, the reality is, without the hope of Christ, without that huge rock to lean on, without your brothers and sisters to lift you up and encourage you, pain can get the better of you. Suffering can get the better of you. But the glory that you have
and the peace that you have in Christ, because we cannot separate, let's be realistic, we cannot separate this passage out. God put it together for a reason. It's peace and glory. You have peace in Christ Jesus, who is your Lord and Savior, and you have glory in your sufferings because it's what leads you ultimately to the hope. To the hope that we all have, in that we all have an opportunity in salvation and to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. So that is the encouragement of suffering. Not, again, nobody's going to go out there. I don't expect you to walk out of church today and be like, boy, man, Brother Tony, he laid us on us today. Sure hope the Lord lets me suffer soon. I don't see that happening. But the reality is, you will suffer. It's inevitable. Whether you are suffering now, or whether it's around the bend of the next turn. Because our lives are nothing but hills and valleys. Right? When we're on top of that hill and things look great, boy. Whew, we're singing to the Lord. Lord, I couldn't be happier. As Brother Brad said this morning, you know, I'm thanking God for every good thing I got. Life is good. No pain in this guy's life. I'm moving forward in the fight. Me and Jesus, we're on the road. You could be there. And then there are times where you're so low in that valley that you're just like, I have no idea how to take another step. I was there not that long ago, where I had no idea how to take another step. But something that escaped me that I'm going to remind you of now is whether you're on a hill or in a valley, God is still there. Just because you step off the field and take the bench doesn't mean God's still not coaching and waiting for you to get back in that game. God doesn't leave you because you're struggling. And I think that's the one thing that we start to begin to... One of the other things that Brad said today in Bible study, it was a really good class, is that we are our own worst judges. That's what we do to ourselves. We tell ourselves, man, I skipped church. Listen, I skipped church for 3 weeks. I'm not proud of that. But if I don't tell you that, I'm not being honest with you either. I skipped church for 3 weeks because I got weak. I got weak spiritually. I got weak physically. I got weak. And it took a huge pick-me-up to get my butt off the ground and back into the church. It's hard. When you allow yourself, you're going to get knocked down. You're going to hurt. It's going to happen. And that's not my message. My message isn't doom and gloom. I'm not coming up here to be like, all right, guys, listen. You all got those doors today. Everybody's going to punch you. Somebody's going to punch you in the stomach every time you leave. All right? Everybody walks out the door, gets a stomach punch. It's going to be what it is. It's terrible. Just deal with it. But the reality is, it's probably not when you walk out that door, but it's coming. For everyone. We're all going to suffer. It's inevitable. Jesus did it. We're going to do it. The positive in this is that we have an opportunity. And us as Christians only have this opportunity. Because of the hope in Christ, because of our Lord Jesus, because of all of that, we get to stand up and say, you know what? Yep, this hurts. But God is getting me through it. God is getting me through this right now. My brothers and sisters are surrounding me with love and support, and I'm going to make it. God is getting me through this. I cannot tell you how many times that I have said this. Just to myself, sitting around in a ton of pain, going, suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. I can't tell you how many times I've had to say that to myself just to keep myself going. I studied this. This happened. This passage came up and really hit me hard about a year ago in a small group, maybe less than that, but it came up in a small group, and that's where this passage came up, and I was like, man, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, phew, this is amazing. How can anyone not survive suffering? Here it is, recipe for success. And not just success, but growth. How many of you have
hurt yourselves or gotten hurt doing an activity, and after that injury healed, you're better for it. You know better. Whether it was something dumb that you shouldn't have been doing, or whether it's just something that you've healed stronger, you're better for it, you're more mature. You now know. See, people call it old age or whatever you want to call it. Wisdom. I just call it reality. All right. I know that and I'm young, 36. I know, though, at 36 with two Achilles repairs, gymnastics is not in my future. When I get out of my boot, I will not go try to do a backflip. My heels and feet will probably not hold up to that. All right? As we grow both as Christians, as we grow both as people, we begin to learn. Listen, I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to get better. Our job as Christians is to what? Grow. Grow ourselves and grow others. One of the easiest ways to grow, is to put your faith into God. One of the things that Tom and Brad both commented on this morning was, look at yourself before you look at others. You know, righteous judgment, the Bible calls for it. But look at yourself before you judge other people. Again, you're going to be your own worst critic. And when you do suffer, because it's coming, or it's happening, at least for me it is, remember that suffering leads to perseverance. Perseverance leads to character, God's character, and character leads to hope. Here's an example. I know you guys are studying the book of James, and here in James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, this is an example. It says, brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke of the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You who have heard Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So there's really two examples that they give here in James, isn't there? The first example is all the prophets. Now we know that Paul suffered, right? I've never been blind before. Paul was struck blind. Paul was beaten in Philippi and thrown in jail for no reason. And we're talking beaten. Okay, we know that all these prophets, and the end message is, how are those prophets now received? We are thankful for them, aren't we? We are thankful for all of those words that God allowed to be put into the Bible for us to have. And then there's Job. Listen, who reads the story of Job and thinks, I could do that? I could do that. If you're not familiar with the story of Job, I'll give you the cliff notes. Job, pretty righteous guy in God's eyes. God allows him to basically be tortured by Satan. He loses his kids, all of them, right? He loses his wife. He loses his health. He loses everything. He gets to the end of it, and God replaces it all. But that's the Cliff Notes version. As you read through what Job suffers, though, as you read through how Job suffers, what happens to Job, how he responds to God, never says, God, you're the worst. I can't take it no more. Job continues to suffer, even though his friends are saying, Job, listen, we know you like God and all, but this is too much for anybody. He never gives up. He perseveres. And out of that perseverance, because God is compassionate and merciful, God replaces all of that. And really, that's, again, where we put our hope. But I know no person. I've yet to meet somebody who's like, yes, I was reading the book of Job the other day, and I was thinking, I could do that. I could probably handle that. Take my wife, my kids, and then, just have houses fall down on them. And then I could probably handle some boils. I could probably handle all that. No. We dislike pain. We don't like it. When we hurt, ain't nobody happy. But we have to remember, again, this is just a couple examples that they list in the book of James, that we have to be patient in our suffering. And I think that's the underlining word. If I had to circle a word up there right now, I would circle that word patience. Now, I don't know about all of you. I can only speak for myself. I am the least patient person I know. Okay? I'm the guy who has to be early to everything. And you can ask my family. They'll all snicker in the back when I say this. All right? I say, hey, we got to be somewhere at least 15 minutes early. We got to go. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. I'm very impatient. When a doctor says 8 weeks, I'm very impatient. Like I told you, when a doctor told me 2 weeks ago, hey, listen, it's been 10 weeks. You can go ahead and put a sneaker on and just take a few steps and see how that feels. I translated that as throw away the boot, put the sneaker on, and take off. He said, take a few steps. I did it for about 2 hours. And then I was like, I can't walk. This is terrible. What's going on? I am the least patient person I know. But in reality, that's the best time to focus on God. It really is. When we can't hang on anymore, when we can't take it anymore, because listen, patience or not, 11 weeks is ridiculous in my mind that I've been dealing with this boot right now. 11 weeks. I don't care how patient you are, eventually that stuff wears on you. Eventually, everything wears on you. But it's in that moment, right there. Right there at the top of that crest, when you can't take it anymore, that you drop to your knees and give it to God. This is it, Lord. I'm done. I can't take it anymore. I need to give this to you. We're good at that part. What I'm asking you to do is to back that up. The minute that pain sets in, drop to your knees and give it to God. And don't just say, Lord, Lord, why me? Why this pain? Why? Lord, suffering's a part of life. I get it. Help me to grow closer to you in this. Help me to persevere through this. Help me to still remember that I have your son, Jesus Christ. Help me to remember that, Lord, as I go through this suffering right now. Help me to remember that I'm not alone in my suffering. That unlike so many people out in the world who don't have Christ, Lord, I'm not by myself. I have all my brothers and sisters. And then my encouragement for you this week is to be open about your suffering. And I know that's hard. And I once preached here before a confession, but be open about your suffering, and here's why. As I was at church, struggling to be at church, because I couldn't sit in a chair there or a pew because my foot would swell up, I sat on a couch out in the foyer. One of the elders came and sat next to me. And he knew I was not doing well, and I was struggling with being there. And he sat down next to me, and he said, how you doing? And I was like, great, another how you doing? How's the foot doing? I was like, I'm struggling. It's tough. He was like, I got to tell you something. 10 years ago, I had this thing wrong with my foot. I had a reverse wart. So it grew in instead of out. He said, and it hurt so bad. Over the course of 3 years, he couldn't walk on it for a whole 3 years. He went through 5 doctors and 4 different treatments. He said he tried anything. At this point, he said after a year into this, he was bordering the edge of sanity. He went to one doctor who was kind of like, hey, you need to put this funky medicine on it and it'll eat up the wart all the way down to the root. And it ended up eating a hole in his foot. He went to another doctor who was like, hey, you need to put this cancer medication on it. It'll kill anything that's not a normal cell. Again, it ate another hole into his foot. For 3 years, I listened to him tell me this story. He said as soon as his foot got better, after 2 years and 4 months, he was able to walk on his foot. It was healing up. He had 3 surgeries to dig out the root. But after all of that, he got better and he was able to walk. He said about 6 months after he was walking, he went out on a boat with a friend. He jumped off the back, the motor was up, and he caught his shin right on the blades. He couldn't walk again for another 4 or 5 months. And when he told me this, my face, when somebody shares when they go through suffering, and you know it's legit suffering, you're over here going, man, you really do feel for a brother or sister that suffers like that. I mean, you really do. And I was over here going, And then when he described the depression that he was in from not being able to walk for so long and how it really affected him and how he felt like not a lot of people really understood it. Like, my heart was wide open at that point. I was like, you totally understand what I'm going through right now. And the fact that he made it, like, look at him now, he's good to go. Most encouraging thing I have heard every time that I went to church. And so I go to church and I look for him every Sunday now. And I look, I'm like, Clint, thanks, man. Really appreciate you. He's like, I didn't do anything. I'm like, man, you don't understand. I was over here literally dying inside, thinking that nobody could really understand what I was going through. Not having the freedom to walk. Not having so much pain, I can't take it. And then just hurting inside. And not wanting to hurt like that. He understood me. He got me. And it really did begin to flip. That was day one of me flipping back to God. Is that brother took the time to sit with me during church out on the couch to say, I get it. I've been there. So that's my encouragement for you this week. If you're hurting inside, if you're physically hurting, if you're hurting emotionally, if you're hurting spiritually, and if you have already conquered those things, share them. Let somebody know you need a prayer of the church. Let me back it up. Let somebody know you need the prayer of the church. Let somebody know that you've conquered those sufferings and pain and that you've been through it. Let people know that. Because I'm telling you right now, you have no idea how many people are sitting around you right now who are struggling to make it, who are struggling to get by. People who may have not even shown up today because they're struggling to get through it. Tell them. It's all right, I've been there. I struggle. You're going to be all right. If you need the prayer of the church or the prayer of the elders today, we ask at this time you can come forward. If you would like to be baptized into Christ, I'm sure we can help you do that today as well. And I want to thank everybody for your time today and appreciate it being here. I'll turn it over to my brother here so he can lead us in our song of invitation.
There's a fire.